BYUSN, with an incredibly successful offseason so far for BYU basketball, what is the minimum threshold of success for Kevin Young and the Cougars next season? Richie Saunders tells us why he chose to return to BYU for his senior season and how he is handling ultra-high expectations for next year.
MJ Berrigan and Alexa Udom of BYU Women's Golf join the show to preview playing in NCAA Regionals next week in Virginia. And BYU softball and baseball have very important series getting underway tonight at Miller Park. We'll discuss what's at stake for both teams this weekend.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation. As always, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It's gonna be May! May 1st, happy Thursday. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who appreciates a good boy band. He also appreciates the ability to dunk a basketball, Jason Shepherd.
I kind of thought you were going to go Timberlake and say it the other, say it, you know.
It's like, gonna be me.
That's kind of how I expected you to say it.
Have you heard the backstory behind that?
I have not.
The Swedish songwriters, when he first sang that song, and he said it the right way, he said, it's gonna be me. And they were like, no. It's way more catchy if you put a little A on me. And so he said they had me do it again and again, and then it just stuck.
So we can thank the Swedes for that.
Swedish pop star writers. By the way, if you want to know why you love pop music so much, look into the history of Sweden.
Oh, I've seen it.
And the involvement there.
I have seen the documentary on the Swedish influence in American pop music.
You can thank the Swedes.
Yes.
With Justin Timberlake for It's Gonna Be May.
You know who else we can thank? Dominic Diamande for posting on Instagram a dunk in a park. And normally, it's a dunk in a park, but we're all, look at this.
He's a high flyer, folks.
Look, honestly, this reminded me of me in church ball.
I love the reaction by the guy on the side.
Seriously, yeah. Like, yeah, I'm going to get out of the way.
No, okay.
It's like, oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah.
Teeth grinder.
So here's the question, though. We've got some pretty impressive dunkers on the team.
To say the least.
Who's going to have the best dunk? Is it going to be Dominique? Is it going to be AJ? Is it going to be Kata?
Do I have to answer it right now? Because this feels like a perfect topic for July 18th. Or some other random day.
You want to save this for the summer?
Like, save that for the summer. I am inclined to go with AJ. Because I have seen what he's done in the pace of play. How many guys can go underneath both legs and dunk in the pace of play?
The best dunk, I'm with you. It probably is going to be AJ. Yeah. The most fierce dunk and the one that will wreck a fool will come from Kaba Kata.
Please quote that forever from Jason Shepherd. The one that will wreck a fool. Yes. Yeah, fist bump for that.
All right.
Awesome. All right. Awesome. Welcome to May, folks. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
It's a good time to be a BYU basketball fan.
I'm ready to buy BYU as a number two seed. I don't think it's that crazy.
I think this team is going to be built for a long postseason run.
BYU will be probably a top six team. Embrace the reality if you haven't already. BYU basketball winning the offseason, bringing in the number two recruiting class in the entire country. They are a projected top five or six team in the country by most major college basketball analysts. We know what the ceiling is for this team, just like every other team. It's a potential national championship, Big 12 championship, all the accolades that go along with it. But what is the floor? And by floor, I mean the minimum threshold for all of you at home to say, man, this season was really a success. So we're going to break this up into a number of different topics. We'll begin answering the threshold of success conversation with the following topic, okay? Again, baseline is what is the minimum threshold of success for BYU basketball next season as it pertains to these topics, Jason.
Okay.
Let's start with Big 12 wins and where BYU has their overall finish in the conference.
Okay, so let's remind everybody what happened last year. 14-6 was the overall conference record. Tied for third is where they finished in the standings.
BYU was picked to finish ninth.
Yes.
Finished tied for third.
Okay. So also something to keep in mind, going back to 18 conference games.
Good point.
So not 20. So there'll be two less conference games to give everybody an opportunity for a little bit more rest during the conference season. So with all of that in mind, minimum threshold for success, I think, is probably 11.
Wow. Okay. So minimum.
Yeah.
You say 11-7. in the regular season.
I wanted to start with 10, but I don't want to set the bar so low because I think we have such high expectations for this team. I think this team can win 11 games. So I'm gonna say at 11. Now, here's where I'm curious how you take this.
Okay.
Top five finish. I think as long as you're top five, you're fine. Here's my thought process on this. Every season's going to have its own set of circumstances. Obviously, you have different players. You have different people on the roster. You're going to play different styles. The other team's going to have different styles and different players. So it is very difficult to say, well, because you did this year and next year you should be better, it absolutely means that you're going to have more wins.
Okay.
I think there's a chance that BYU can have fewer wins.
Okay.
Finish lower in the standings by a spot or two,
okay.
But also have a team that is better prepared for the postseason. And that's saying something for a team that went to the Sweet 16. So I'm going to say 10-11 for wins, top five finish, and it's success.
Listen, I bought BYU as a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament when we asked the question from Joe Lunardi's way too early first bracketology. I bought it. With the mindset of what have Kevin Young and BYU done to show me that they won't hit these marks otherwise? Mm-hmm. Like, my hesitations have always been for naught because BYU has beaten my expectations. Now, I know getting to a 2 seed and being a top five team, it's hard to outdo those expectations because they're already so astronomically high in the mind of like a BYU realm. But we're talking minimum thresholds. So I'm balancing like what I'm seeing from national analysts and hesitations. And you brought up the 18-game schedule, all of these things in the mix. I feel like BYU should be a top 25% team in all of those categories. Now, so what I mean by that is if there's a 16-team conference, BYU needs to finish in the top four. If you're going in and you're projected as a 2 seed and you're number 6 in the country or number 8 in the country, you should finish in the top four in one of the toughest conferences in America. We'll see what the SEC is next year. The Big 12 is going to be loaded again. But top four.
Okay.
Like, you finished tied for third this last season.
Okay.
And you feel like you have significantly upgraded what was already a good roster. Like a significant upgrade from a really good roster. So, yeah, I feel like top four finish is not too much to ask. So top 25% there. And then I feel like BYU should win 2 out of every 3 games in the league. So if it's a 66% win percentage, then you're looking at 12-6.
Okay, so we're off by a game, and I, basically.
I'm a little bit higher, okay? You can call it more stringent, whatever.
Yeah.
But I feel like BYU is capable and should be able to win 12 of the 18 conference games and finish top four in conference.
Okay, so now the next one that we're going to talk about, Big 12 tournament success. Not NCAA tournament, Big 12. Last year, BYU lost in the semis to Houston. So what is the minimum for success in the Big 12 tournament?
Well, again, if BYU is going to finish in the top four, then they're going to get the double bye. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's getting back to the conference semifinals again. Minimum.
Yeah.
Like if you're a top four team in the league, which I believe they will be, then you have the double bye, you win one game, and you are in the conference semifinals. Hopefully BYU is not in a scenario where they have to play the number 1 seed again as the number 4 seed, right? I don't want that to have to happen. So if BYU can be the 2 or the 3, now we're talking about maybe BYU gets to a Big 12 tournament championship game, and then it's just one game.
Right.
And then you see if you win the Big 12 tournament. But for me, minimum threshold, conference semifinals, how do you see it?
Yeah, there's no reason for us to spend a ton of time on this. You and I are on the same page. I think the minimum threshold is semifinals. I think that is absolutely doable. So you and I are on the same page there.
The next one is a loaded question. Because of what I just brought up, Joe Lunardi has BYU projected as a number 2 seed. BYU has been a 6 seed in each of the last 2 NCAA tournaments. So as far as NCAA tournament seeding goes, on May 1st, just a little ahead of the game, what's the minimum threshold?
For me, I think it probably is 6 because of what they've shown so far. We think that they will be a better team. Now, again, that doesn't necessarily mean record-wise, but I think we'll look at this team and say, you know what, this team may be built for an even longer run in the postseason. So for me, minimum threshold for success is, once again, at least a 6 seed.
I can't, in good conscience and good logic, look at the roster with A.J. DeBonta, Robert Wright III, Richie Saunders, Keba Keita, Dominic Diamande, unnamed four-star talent who might be a starter on this incredibly talented BYU basketball team, and then a bench of Dawson Baker, Mihailo Boskovic, and others, and say you can't do at least one better than that. At least one better. So I've been floating on that 4-5 line. Okay. It might be a 4 for me, Jason. Like, minimum, because of the talent and the investment and how much has gone into this and the staff now coming back. This isn't the first go-around. So what can they do? Can the staff make their, you know, second-year jump and pull this team together? So minimum 5 seed. Just one line of improvement, but I'm inclined to push that up to a 4.
See, my rationale on this, I view if this team is able to show again that they can do what they did last year, to me, that is a sign of success. Because anybody can do something one time, right? But if you show that you can follow it up, certainly with different components, but you can get at least the exact same result. To me, that shows it's not just a one-year thing. And you and I don't believe that it is. I'm just saying that I think there is merit in being able to prove that what you did last year, you can at least do that again. The consistency, to me, also shows success.
So BYU's been a 6 seed 2 years in a row, though. So you need to see it a third year in a row?
Well, I'm talking about with this staff.
Okay.
With this staff, this team. I'm not talking about anything that happened prior to Coach Young. I'm talking about the way that this team is going into year two.
Okay.
So for me, if they were able to show that again, to me, that's big time success in and of itself.
See, I'm in that line of thinking when you get to what you actually do in the field. But as far as seeding goes and your regular season, my expectations are a little more high than yours. So 5, probably 4. Probably a 4 seed for me. There's just, how often do you have the number one player in the country on your squad and team him up with a 5-star transfer point guard and you bring back King Richie Saunders, who's going to join
us today?
Next
segment.
Holy cow.
Okay, so now let's talk about tournament success.
Yes.
NCAA tournament success. We know they went to the Sweet 16. Minimum threshold for success in the NCAA tournament.
See, here's where I'm in line with your method of thinking in that last topic. If BYU can get back to a Sweet 16, now you've gone to back-to-back Sweet 16s. That for me, is like the baseline. Can BYU do it again? They've gone to 3 total in the modern era. So 1981, 2011, obviously last year. BYU's been to 1 Elite Eight. The step forward, clearly, would be getting to BYU's second ever Elite Eight. But as a minimum, with this talent, if BYU's going to finish top 4 in conference and be a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament or a 5, get back to the Sweet 16. Do that 2 years in a row, and now you have proven that was not a flash in the pan. Kevin Young and the Cougars are for real. I don't believe anybody in the country, as far as national analysts go, don't think right now that Kevin Young isn't the real deal.
Oh, but yes, 100%.
There's validation in winning,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
Going back to yesterday's theme.
Yep. So I'm with you, Sweet 16. And you mentioned they've only gone to the Sweet 16 3 times. They've never gone in back-to-back seasons. So that type of accomplishment would be massive. And I will continue to go back. If this season plays out with the talent that they have,
yes.
I think this team will position itself to be able to go further than the Sweet 16. But yes, minimum threshold for success is to get back to the Sweet 16.
We're about to see BYU have their first NBA draft pick in 14 years when Yegor Demin has his name eventually called. We hope it's in the lottery, but we believe it will 100% surely be in the first round. Next season, what is the minimum threshold of NBA draft picks BYU needs to have for you to say, yes, that was successful?
I don't know if they need it, but I think they're going to have 2.
Okay.
And if we're being honest, it's a success if you have another first-round pick in back-to-back seasons. That would be success. But I think they're going to have 2, so I'm going to set it at 2.
I just don't know what Robert Wright III is going to do.
Right.
He has more eligibility. Mm-hmm. Like, is he going to make the jump? If he does go to the draft, then I'm right there with you. I think it would be a minimum of two.
Yeah.
I think he's a draftable point guard. I think A.J. DeBonta might be the number one pick overall, depending on how this season goes.
I think Richie is going to give himself an opportunity to be drafted next year. I think the minimum is two. I think they're going to have at least two.
Now, it's just so tough because if Richie's grade remains like mid-second round, all bets are off. Like, if you have a mid to late second round grade, there's no guarantee you're going to get selected. I believe that Richie's going to enjoy some more freedoms because of the attention that is paid to all of the players around him on the floor. And he will show you that he can actually elevate his game and do some even better things. Hard to ask for more after a first-team All-Big 12 season. But, hey, I say, yeah, I'm probably with you, two, assuming that there are going to be maybe three players that are up for the NBA draft next season.
Yeah.
So we settle on two.
Okay, I like it.
Cannot wait, obviously, if you can't tell, to see what kind of success this team will have. And, Jason, just because you brought it up yesterday and we did the countdown to the Portland State Vikings in football, naturally we got to do the countdown to the Wildcats. Hit it!
Countdown to the Wildcats.
186.
Did you just lose your voice at the worst possible time?
I like inhaled and I was like, ugh.
It was like, hey, that turned out to be a solo.
186.
By the way, is that the first basketball countdown we've ever done? I think it's the first one I've ever done.
It is the first you've done. We have done it before.
Okay. All right.
But that is your first. And why not make it a solo when it is your first?
Okay.
Well inadvertently.
Done. Well done.
All good.
Spencer chokes on air.
Woo. Our question of the day, in your opinion, what is the minimum threshold of success for BYU basketball next season with all the excitement brewing? At Mono's BYU on X says, minimum, top three seed in the Big 12 tournament and Sweet 16. I hope for more, but winning is hard. Top seeds in the tournament lose early all of the time. Make it to the second weekend for a successful season. Make it to the third weekend for a dream season.
Look, there's so much on the table for this year.
Fans, we're asking fans to be fans.
That's right. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. You are absolutely entitled to be as excited as you want to be.
The minimum. Minimum. Woo. Isaac Soswick on X says Elite Eight. Wow. Wait, you're just all in on this.
That's the minimum.
What Kevin Young is building down in Provo continues, or constitutes rather, at least advancing one round further than last year's Sweet 16 appearance. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Look, I know that we all expect them to be able to go further, but I'm telling you, there is something to be said for being able to duplicate what you did last year and show that you can be consistent in that. I think that is success by itself. So I think we're sort of overlooking being able to do what they did last year. If they can do it in a second year.
Come on. Back-to-back Sweet 16s.
I mean, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. If that's the only thing that happens, that's still a success to do that.
Yes.
2 years in a row. Let's not minimize that type of accomplishment.
Three Sweet 16s in essentially 45
years. Now, with
years.
That said, we all think that they have the capability of going further than the Sweet 16, which makes this whole conversation even more exciting.
You choose how to fan and answer the question. That's the beauty of this. You've heard our opinions. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right, BYU Sports Nation will be live from Freeman Park in Idaho Falls at the BYU Fan Fest, where we'll have interviews with guests from BYU football, women's basketball, and much more. Tune in beginning at 1 Eastern time on BYU TV and BYU Radio coming up on Saturday.
Just a small part of why we're so stoked. Okay, not so small. Massive part of why we're so stoked. Richie Saunders is in studio to discuss his decision to return to BYU and his goals and his expectations for next season. Stay with us.
Your guy, Richie Saunders, just announced he's returning to play basketball.
Oh, let's go.
With Richie Saunders, it means that BYU can be its best self because Richie Saunders makes BYU even better than they were going to be.
Go next level, live in Studio B alongside Jason Shepherd. I am Spencer Linton. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play, and the man we just featured in that highlight video, Richie Saunders, the heir King Richie, whatever you want to call him. He's got tons of nicknames now, is back in Studio B. Good to see you, brother.
Thank you. Really good to be here.
How do you feel about all of those nicknames in this tater tot kingdom that you now live in?
I was thinking we were going to say something about that, but it's funny because for like 2 weeks of my life, like that was literally all that was talked about. But I was like, it's been like a month since like tater tots have really been brought up. But
okay, right now in your freezer, how many bags of tater tots do you have?
I don't know if I can say that on air. It'd either be really good or really bad. You gotta go next question.
We're showing the Orida bag with your name, image, and likeness on it. What was that like for you the first time that your image popped up on baking sheets and on Orida crispy tater tot packaging?
Hilarious. Like, I mean, just for my whole life, we've kind of just joked around with it, but it's so funny to, like, actually have it be, like, a real thing or whatever, but it's been a fun partnership, and just, again, I think they killed it with the campaign during the during March Madness and stuff. They killed it. I think it was over 2 billion tap backs produced from that campaign.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know how many people are in the world, but about a quarter of the population of the world was connected to Tater Tot.
That is just unbelievable.
Just hilarious. Hilarious.
How long did it take after the season? And maybe it was quick, but before you realized and could actually sort of consume everything that you had accomplished and this team accomplished in that first year, that had to be so much fun. But then looking back, like, wow, that was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was so fun. You know, it's funny because it's like a season is so, it's so long, and there's so many different lives during a season. You know, like just the losses, the big wins, the losses, like it just goes back and forth. But you know, it was so fun to be a part of it, and to, you know, it always sucks to end, but just to be able to make it to where we did and with the people that we did it with was just super fun.
Jason and I were hosting the BYU Fan Fest in St. George on Saturday night when the official news that you are returning to BYU was released. And so several football players, Jake Retzlaff and Chase Roberts and Tanner Wall and all these guys, they're all freaking out with happiness because they found out that you're back with BYU basketball. That was a sentiment that obviously the entirety of Cougar Nation shared. But what's the reception been like for you from that moment when it went official on Saturday night to now?
Yeah. I mean, just like you expect with Cougar Nation, like it's, I'm just super grateful to be a part of it. And, you know, yeah, I was actually, I hate to say it, but I was actually on my way to St. George Saturday, right when we were like, we finally Friday night got to a point where we were like ready to just kind of move forward. But Saturday morning, we posted it on our drive to St. George, me and my wife, posted it, deleted Instagram, and just went on our way and had a quiet weekend.
Did you? Really?
You know, it takes so much, like, I'm super grateful to have, like, that, be in that decision time, like, with options. Like, what a blessing to have, but it's stressful. It was a very stressful, especially that last week was really stressful, just trying to put everything, weigh everything, and but, you know, we got to just kind of just focus on, like, our family is kind of the biggest thing, you know, and sometimes that it gets a little bit neglected throughout all this. But we just put that, deleted Instagram, and went on our way and had a quiet weekend.
You were in St. George while we were in St. George?
We got there Saturday night, so.
You missed the Fan Fest.
Is that right? I don't know exactly what it was.
Six to eight was the Fan Fest.
Somebody told me about that after.
Yeah. You could have come on Sports Nation and made it live.
You needed the quiet weekend. You made the right decision.
Well, you said that you were weighing things. What are the factors that you were weighing? What goes into making that decision?
Yeah. Again, super grateful to be in that position. You know, just where are we in the draft? Where can we develop the most for this next, like, the next kind of look at it? Like, we sought counsel from a lot of people. But, you know, just kind of looking at this 1 year at a time, like, where can I develop the most in 1 year? And it's so complicated because there was an opportunity there. And that's the hard thing, and that's what it took so long, is, like, you know, right? Like, there's an opportunity to fulfill one of my dreams of playing in the NBA. Like, there was a real opportunity. And just to put that on the shelf, get better and come back here is scary, But like, you know, like passing up on an opportunity is scary is what I'm trying to say. But like, I couldn't be more excited to, to work with this team. I haven't met a ton of them. I mean, I've met cross paths a little bit, but I'm excited to really get to know these guys and to play with them, be on the court with them, and you know, and like I'm super excited to grow and develop and improve my game. And we got such good coaches that know what they're doing here. And I was grateful to be here.
The always humble and gracious Richie Saunders is on BYU Sports Nation, and I mean that sincerely. You sit in a place now where you mentioned you had multiple opportunities, and you're getting feedback from a lot of different people about what you should do and why you should do it.
Yeah.
What did you hear from your head coach, Kevin Young, and his staff? Because he obviously has a very unique perspective, given his lengthy NBA backdrop, to give you very valuable feedback. So what did you hear from him, and what were you hearing from other scouts in terms of how draftable you were and where you feel like you do need to raise your game so that you can get even better before you go to the NBA?
Totally. I mean, it's such a privilege to have coaching staff that we do. Like, everybody has NBA experience. Like, it's crazy because, like, we had such good conversations with so many of – well, when I say we, me and my wife, like, with my coaches, just – what does this look like? What does it look like pre-draft stuff? Like, I didn't realize how intense of a schedule it is leading up to the draft. But, you know, as the reception we got is that early to middle second round. And with opportunities to get that lower with doing workouts. That's where the reception with our agent and stuff. It's kind of where we got, and which is... we're so grateful, you know, like that's why this was took so long. That's why
so
we did
hard
it to
say
deadline.
No to.
Yeah.
Because yes, there's an opportunity right there. But you know, is you just kind of one of the things that one of my coaches said was just look like it's a hard life. NBA life, it's a hard life. It's a privilege but it's a hard life. And just kind of said just make sure your marriage is where it needs to be in order to take on a challenge like this. And like that was kind of like a waking up moment for us of just like, hey, like there's factors besides just playing basketball into this. And like I got a great wife that we'd make it work no matter what. But that was just a little piece of advice that we kind of gotten that really kind of we sat on, like along with so many different words of advice. But
one of the really cool things I think the NBA has done in recent years is they've allowed players to put their names in the draft, go through some of those workouts, but then have a cutoff date where you can still go back to school. You had that option. You did not do that. Is that because you had basically most of the information that you would have got by doing some of those things right in-house? Did that help you eliminate having to go through that and making the decision?
Yeah, that was a factor in there. Again, like, I don't want to, like, when I know what I want to do, I want to do it. You know, I want to just be able to put my head down and work. And so ultimately, like, yes, I believe that could have gone and have great workouts and got lower in the draft. But, you know, like, it's just, I didn't know if I don't know if I was done playing here. I didn't know if I was ready when I thought about all the opportunities and the potential for this next year. Like I didn't know if I was ready to give that up in hopes that I'm going to do everything I can to make sure the opportunity is there next year, you know. And but like just I don't know if we were ready to move on. It's such a blessing to play here, and I'm loving what's going on. And so we start practice next week, so it'll be good to get to know the guys more, but I'm excited.
Richie Saunders is on BYU Sports Station. Remind me where you were specifically when you were in the taxi cab. You felt the push to come back to BYU last year. Was it Panama?
Guatemala.
Guatemala, okay. So you're in Guatemala, and you're in a taxi cab.
Literally a year ago from, I think, last weekend.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy? That, like, the timing is almost unbelievable, right? So you're, again, 365 days later, essentially, in another very, very tough situation, having to make potentially life-altering decision. How did this year's decision process compare to that spiritual premonition, that moment that you had when you were in Central America?
That's a good question. I'd say like the biggest thing was last year felt so much like this was a stressful time, but last year seemed so much more stressful, mostly because we didn't necessarily want to be in that position. We were grateful that we had the different options, but we wanted to be all in here, but needed to weigh all of our options and see different paths down. This year was, we just had to keep reminding ourselves, like, this is such a privilege to be in this situation. This is such a privilege to be able to make the decision of playing at BYU or playing in the NBA. that's a cool, like, we had to keep reminding ourselves that. Because, you know, it's easy just to get caught up in all the stress, and, but to get above and see everything.
This is probably an unfair question to ask right now, because you mentioned you've got practices that won't even start till next week. Yeah. You've mentioned, you know, you're still trying to get to know some of these new guys, but you know the type of talent that's coming in. Now, there's a big change in personnel from last year's team to this year's team. But when you think about what this team can do this year, what gets you excited about this upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, I'll have a better answer in a few months. But, you know, like, there's just such high-level people that are going to be in the gym, which helps everybody. And that's part of the reason, like, I mean, that definitely went into our decision of just, like, look, like, we can get better. And we can improve. And I don't know exactly what it looks like 8 months down the line, but, like, I'm super excited to be a part of the team. And I don't ultimately get to a good spot in the season. And I know it's there.
From a personal skill set standpoint, where do you feel like you can get better and more NBA ready while staying at BYU with Kevin Young and company?
Yeah, just two things. One is like my ability to come off ball screens. Just something that I haven't done a ton, but started to do a little bit at the end of the year, just because they kind of were all but my business. But you know, like I just had to find some way to counter that. And that's one of the things we've talked about is just being able to make the right read out of ball screens. And then I'd say guarding a quick twitch guard is like another one of those big things. Kind of the way the season ended up, I kind of had to guard more some of their format a little bit, which is just not necessarily my like what I do it a ton, but just become better at ball screens and perimeter defense.
And as a follow-up, Kevin Young has been very, very outspoken about your development specifically and how much enjoyment he has taken in working with you and seeing that happen and come to fruition. We've heard a lot from him about that. Frankly, I don't know if we've heard a ton from you about how you feel like your decision to come back last year and play for Kevin Young developed your game.
Yeah, I mean, it 100% did. I spent so many hours with John Linehan in the gym. It's kind of my skills coach or whatever. But, you know, with through the direction of KY, right? But, you know, like there's just so much time and detail that goes into, time and attention that goes into, like, improving. And I just love how with all just with the coaching staff, I can step in and get a clear plan and clearly execute. You know, it's like, again, I kind of mentioned it earlier, but I just like to put my head down and just have a plan and just attack it. And it's honestly easy to do that here because we just have direction and we roll with it.
We ate tater tots on Monday, by the way, on the show.
Awesome.
Like, we didn't know we were going to get them, but the show started and they literally delivered us tater tots in your honor. So it was headbands last year, it was tater tots this year.
Like, we got to get a combo in there.
Yes, yeah. We got to make that happen,
we got to make it happen. Let's make it happen. Any fun things this summer? Are you going on any vacation? Talked about Guatemala last year. You do anything this summer?
Yeah, I mean, the big one is doing some youth camps in Tahiti, actually.
Wow.
So that's in July. You know, me and my wife and a couple of our friends are planning on going there. And I actually went when I was in high school for a similar reason, and it was just incredible people, incredible culture. So super excited to do that. I mean, basketball, right, has changed my life and has given me so many opportunities. And so we're just trying to figure out how in the world can we, like, help people find something like basketball and just to give them direction in life and give them, give people, like, something to work towards like it did for me and my wife. So we're trying to figure out how to do that with, and this is one of those ways, is by doing kids camps. TD, I think we're going to do some local, but, you know, it's, yeah, that's kind of the first thing on our schedule, but I'm sure hopefully there'll be some other small trips, but yeah.
Very nice.
Richie, great to have you in studio.
Thanks,
Richie.
The
definition of a guy who is easy to root for.
100%.
Are you kidding me? You kidding me?
The cheers at the Fan Fest when we announced you were coming back, it was pretty impressive.
Oh, I appreciate it.
They were excited.
King Richie on BYUSN. Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
All right, BYU softball hosts number 11 Texas Tech tonight in game one of a three-game series at Gale Miller Field. You can watch tonight's game on ESPN Plus beginning at 7 Eastern time.
BYU track and field. Ho-hum continues to break more records. It's what they do like every day. And where does Yegor Demin land in the latest updated NBA mock draft from another notable source? Headlines on the way on BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jason Shepherd. And these are your May 1st headlines.
Yegor Demin is projected to go number 18 to the Washington Wizards. That's been a very popular pick in the Athletic's latest NBA mock draft. This is the third recently updated mock draft, joining Bleacher Report and Sports Illustrated, that have Demin projected 18th to Washington.
BYU softball hosting 11th-ranked Texas Tech tonight, opening a three-game series at Gale Miller Field. Final home regular season series for BYU. The Red Raiders atop the Big 12 standings, BYU in fifth place at 12-9 in league. Game one begins tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN+.
Baseball hosts Kansas State for a three-game series this weekend that begins tonight. BYU currently sits in 13th place in the Big 12 standings. The top 12 make the Big 12 tournament in Arlington. Game one begins tonight, 8:30 Eastern on BYU Radio and on ESPN+.
You tell me it matters.
It matters big time.
Notable track and field results from day one of the Robinson Invitational in Provo. Aiden Troutner, how about this, broke the 5,000-meter facility record in the rain, no less, running a 13-minute, 59-second, 9,500s race. He became the first runner to break go sub 14 minutes at the Robinson Invitational. Rebecca Erickson broke her own school record in the pole vault, clearing 4.32 meters. Day two of the Robinson Invite continues today.
Lexi Halliday-Lowry was named Big 12 Female Athlete of the Week for the second straight week. She's the only Big 12 track and field athlete to receive back-to-back Athlete of the Week honors during the 2025 indoor and outdoor seasons. Halliday-Lowry was also named the National Athlete of the Week earlier this week. I think I said week like eight times.
It's all good. It's a great week.
It was a great week.
Congratulations to BYU Men's Golf, selected to compete in the NCAA Regionals in Reno, Nevada as the sixth seed. The last time BYU qualified for Regionals, 2023. Competition begins May 12th.
Biggest little city in the world, I believe.
Indeed.
Bobo Huang of BYU Women's Tennis was named to the first team All Big 12 yesterday. Huang had an amazing 19-3 record this season in singles matches, including 10 Big 12 wins in her last season as a Cougar.
BYU Men's Volleyball members of the team 2025 signing class include Corbin Batista and Leighton Bluth, invited to the 2025 U.S. Boys U19 National Team tryouts. Well done, gentlemen. Two of 28 players invited, Batista and Bluth hope to make the 12-man rosters for the U19 Pan American Cup or the FIVB Boys U19 World Championship.
And Justin Sterner pitched another scoreless inning, striking out two batters in yesterday's 7-1 win for the Athletics over the Rangers. Sterner is up to 14 2/3 innings pitched, 18 strikeouts on the season, has yet to give up a run. You go, Justin.
They're a team without a destination. They're just the Athletics.
I know. They're just the Athletics. I almost said Sacramento, and that's not right either.
No. Can't call them Oakland.
No, they are the Athletics.
They're just the Athletics. Tell you what, he's doing some really good work. He's going to get paid if he keeps that up.
Oh, there's
Holy cow.
Already. What he's done already, he's going to get paid.
Still on the way, BYU women's golfers MJ Barrickin and Alexa Udom join us in studio to preview next week's NCAA Regionals in Charlottesville, Virginia. Both golf teams bringing it. This is BYUSN. Welcome back with our question of the day. In your opinion, what is the minimum threshold of success for BYU men's basketball next season with this number two overall recruiting class and the guy who just joined us, Richie Saunders, back for another season? At Brigham's Brigade on X says, anything less than the Sweet 16 would be a step backward. Agreed. And we both agree.
Yeah, we both agree, yeah. Getting back to the Sweet 16.
Sweet 16 is the place.
On X from at RH Van Slyke, no regression, third place in the Big 12 and Sweet 16. So okay. He wants to minimum for success is doing exactly what they did last year.
Maintain.
Yeah.
At Clint Carlos on X says, every year we should be making, meaning BYU, should be making the tournament and winning at least one tournament game. In special years where the talent and chemistry hit, they should be playing multiple weekends in March Madness. That's it. That's the new expectations. Multiple weekends in March Madness. How about it?
I'm ready for it. I think every BYU basketball fan's ready for it.
I'm trying to get that idea like fully saturated in my mind that like getting to the second weekend is now like the new norm.
That is what is being put through the program, that this is the new standard.
3 in 44 years, and it's like now we go to the Sweet 16 every year.
It's what we do.
We
go to the Sweet 16.
Elite Voice of the Day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes in from Matthew B. Christensen on Instagram, who says, top four in the Big 12. I like that. Okay, I said top four. And make the Sweet 16. With incoming talent, BYU's got to at least match this past season.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And look, I said it several times in the A block. To me, that is a sign of success that I hope we don't lose sight of. Being able to show that not just the first year, but in the second year, you can also do that with a different cast of characters. And in all likelihood, probably a little bit different style because of the different types of talent you have.
It's almost unfair because the tournament is single elimination. And it's just so crazy to heap expectations on, well, what did you ultimately do in March Madness? But that's what this culture does.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they remember. What do we remember? BYU went to the Sweet 16.
Yep.
They finished as a top 13 team. Had they lost in the first or second round, Jason, would we be sitting here feeling this way? No, we would. Like, we'd be like, oh, it was an incredibly fun season, but a little bit more in the tank. Like, this team overachieved, and now that has taken expectations to another level.
That's right. Look, it's good when you have high expectations, right? Because that means that you've done something to set the expectations at a high place. That's good. That is a good problem to have if you would consider that a problem.
Today's Rise and Shoutout, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Basketball deserves a Rise and Shoutout in and of their own. But how about in the rain? Aiden Troutner.
Yeah, you mentioned this in the headlines. Aiden Troutner breaking the BYU's facility record in the 5,000 meter in the pouring rain. So this was happening yesterday during our show. And we had no idea that the weather was looking like this outside. So we got the news that this happened. And then we saw the conditions that it was taking place in, which makes it even more impressive.
Sub 14 minutes in the rain.
That's impressive.
So tough. Okay, let's keep it rolling.
All right, BYU baseball looks to snap their 5-game Big 12 losing streak tonight when Kansas State comes to Provo. Coverage of tonight's game begins at 8:30 Eastern on BYU Radio and on ESPN+.
Still on the way, BYU women's golfers MJ Berrigan and Alexa Udom join us in studio. They'll preview regionals in Charlottesville. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B, and as promised, two outstanding BYU women's golfers are with us to preview regionals in Charlottesville, Virginia. They are MJ Bargan and Alexa Udom. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, let's just go right into regionals preparation and do so with the moment you found out that you were back in it and you're in Charlottesville. Alexa, what was that moment like for you and the team?
That was special. It's my senior year, so it's definitely special to be able to go to regionals with this team. We're so close, and I think that has really helped us this year. Like, we just trust each other. We know that we can do it. We have each other's back, so it'll be fun to see what we can do.
And same question for you, MJ. What was that moment like when you saw BYU on the screen?
It was really excited. Like, it was just so cool. I'm a sophomore, so I'm really happy to go in my second year. And we want to go the next the next 2 years. So, yeah, it was really fun. I think we have been working a lot this whole year, so we're excited to go.
Have you guys competed at the course in Charlottesville before?
We haven't. No.
So, okay, so what does that make a difference if it's been a place that you've competed at before versus not?
It definitely helps a little bit to have like played the course before, but we know that the greens are bent grass, the fairways are zoysia, so perfect lies.
Oh,
and
yes.
Greens that we're used to, so it shouldn't be too much of a change.
So how does that compare to your home course here at Riverside Country Club with those types of fairways and greens?
Yeah, definitely. Well, like I said, like zoysia grass tees it up perfectly for us. So every lie in the fairway will be nice and teed up. And then bent grass, we've played a lot of courses with bent grass.
Okay.
So nothing too different. The course we're going to be playing is a little more hilly, like mountain-y. But other than that, yeah.
MJ, how do you handle the nerves of not just golf in general, but tournament play and knowing that this is regionals? Like this is what you have been working for all season.
Yeah, I feel it's more about just control what we can control and knowing that it's another tournament. Of course, it's the most important of the season, but it's just play our golf, not just try to not to think on like on the setup we are and just have fun.
You obviously are playing golf because you love it. What about golf do you love the most? MJ, let's start with you.
I think it's the nerves. I think that it's that pressure that we have. It's just going to the course and know that everything can be different as last week. So I think it's just that we always have to go and play and you never know what's going on with golf. So, yeah.
What about you, Alexa?
I've always loved competing, and golf is such an individual sport that it's really up to you. It's what you can control, what you can do, and I think that's what I really like about it.
We're going to have a little bit of time left. So in 30 seconds, I'm just curious, how did both of you decide that BYU was the place for you and continue your college career? So Alexa, we'll begin with you.
Yeah. I really love the coaches. The coaches here are
shout out
amazing.
To Carrie Roberts.
Yeah. Carrie and Alex.
Yes, Alex is great.
All the staff here at BYU are just amazing. The support they give to student athletes are top notch. So it's been fun to be here.
Big determinant. Okay, MJ, what about you?
I think it's all about the team and my coaches because be far away from home, they make home here. So I think it's really nice to just have family here and feel like this is also my house. So, yeah.
And remind people where home is for you.
I'm from Morelia, Mexico. So, yeah, kind of far away. Well, not a lot. Yeah.
Hey, Mexico to Provo is not exactly a short distance.
Yeah, it's not that close. All right, so given the BYU Sports Nation karma,
absolutely.
We're going to give you the BYU Sports Nation karma for you guys to take with you. And it's pretty powerful. So we expect really good things
from
you guys.
Ask your coach about it, okay? Okay. We've had some Eagles, you know.
Oh, like good. We need those.
Yes.
Some fantastic results after you come on the show. You can just take it and play with confidence. By the way, what's your favorite shot of the season, Alexa?
My favorite shot? Oh, that's hard. I might have to think about that one.
Okay. MJ, do you have a clear favorite shot of the season?
I have two, yeah. So I made a eagle on Blessings, and that's on Golf Channel. So I think it was really special to do it with all my team there.
Your family gets to see it?
Yeah, yes. On the TV, everyone. And I also made a hole-in-one on Hawaii. On the last tournament of last season.
I remember talking about that on the show.
Yeah. So yeah, it's that too. I just remember them like going into the hole and I'm like, wow. Yeah. It was really excited both. Yeah.
Hard to beat an ace. Congratulations to both of you for your high level of play. Good luck at Charlottesville.
Yeah, good
Thank
luck,
you
guys.
So much.
Yeah. Hey, MJ Bargan and Alexa Udom on BYU Sports Nation. FYI. John Rothstein just reported BYU men's basketball has signed an elite 6'7 shooter from the transfer portal. There's more on the way.
Come on in. The water's warm.
Our thanks to today's guests, Richie Saunders, and the two women you just heard from, MJ Bargan and Alexa Udo.
All of our shows are on demand. You can check them out at BYUSN.com.
For Jason Shepherd, I'm Spencer Linton. Shout out to Greg Kite. Tune in tomorrow to hear our sit-down interview in Studio B with AJ DiBonza. Go Cougs!